following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and re-criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, December 31st, the last day of 2010, and it's got to be 420 summer in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more. Podcast on iTunes as the Normal Daily Audio Stash, followed by another 60 minutes of live Toker Talk Radio right here on Normal Show Live, where you can call in and be heard by the cannabis community. We're here for you. We're glad you have joined us. We've got a great show here to round out 2010. Joining me here in the studio is our own pirate, the maestro, Ganja John.
I decided to wear the eye patch for the last show.
Oh, that's so cute. Just out of nostalgia's sake, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
2010, what a momentous year. You got an organ.
Yep.
And a glass eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. More
Knocked
stuff for John.
It out of the park.
We love that. And the Ducks are going to the national championship.
I'm wearing it, baby.
Gotta represent. That's a beautiful thing. Also joining us here in the studio today is one of our regulars, Yellowana Cake, is sitting in. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, everybody?
Yeah, we're going to have ourselves a good time. Also tonight, New Year's Eve, we've got a New Year's Eve party going here for the staff and volunteers of Normal Show Live. We'll be checking in with you right here on the chat line as the midnight hits across all the time zones. So starting around 9 o'clock Pacific time, we'll start stopping by and saying hi and let you know what's going on here at Rolla J Studios. We'll also play the music stream all night long for you so you can listen to some toker tunes while you watch the ball drop, and maybe listen to us instead of Ryan Seacrest and Kathy Griffin and all those people. You can tune in to us. We're a lot more entertaining. All right, coming up on today's show, we have got the rounding out of the top 10 of Normal's marijuana stories for 2010. Numbers 5 through 1 today on the show. We'll cover those for you. At 20 after the hour, we've got some Rockin' Friday music to bring in 2011 with a group called Digital Leather and a song called, appropriately enough, 2011. And then at half past the hour, we're doing our number 1 radical rant of 2010. I decided on it today. The number 1 radical rant is the election lessons we learned from the 2010 election. So stay tuned for that. And of course, all your discussion, all our chat coming up in hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio. Right back after this. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
This is bullshit. It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage therapy. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Cannabis Carrie is on vacation, and I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. These are the top five stories, as determined by the Normal editorial staff, relating to marijuana events in 2010. Let's begin with number five. California marijuana possession no longer a criminal offense under state law. October 7th, Sacramento, California. Outgoing California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on Friday signed Senate Bill 1449 into law, reducing adult non-medical marijuana possession charges from a criminal misdemeanor to a civil infraction. The measure amends the California Health and Safety Code so that the adult possession of up to 28.5 grams of marijuana is classified as an infraction, punishable by a $100 fine. No court appearance, no court costs, and no criminal record. Quote, in this time of drastic budget cuts, prosecutors, defense attorneys, law enforcement, and the courts cannot afford to expend limited resources prosecuting marijuana misdemeanor offenses, end quote, Governor Schwarzenegger stated. California Normal Director Dale Gehringer praised the governor's decision. Quote, Governor Schwarzenegger deserves credit for sparing the state's taxpayers the cost of prosecuting minor pot offenders, end quote, he said. Californians increasingly recognize that the war on marijuana is a waste of law enforcement resources. In 2009, there were over 61,000 misdemeanor marijuana prosecutions in California, the second highest annual total ever reported. The new law goes into effect tomorrow, January 1st, 2011. And folks, this is the victory of Prop 19. This is how we win, is that we brought Prop 19 onto the ballot, and throughout the summertime, it was polling above 50%. Some of the polls even as high as 60% of support for Prop 19. This scared the status quo. This scared all those people in power that want to keep marijuana prohibition just the way it is, and they realized they had to do something drastic to try to undercut the support for those numbers. I totally believe that without Prop 19, Schwarzenegger would never have considered signing this bill, and the California Assembly never would have considered passing this bill. It was the pressure from the people demanding a greater legalization of marijuana that forced this decriminalization of marijuana in California to finally take hold. The number four story, Washington, D.C., Congress won't overturn the district's new marijuana dispensary law. July 29, 2010, Washington, D.C. Members of Congress have declined to overrule legislation passed by the D.C. City Council in May, authorizing the establishment of regulated medical marijuana dispensaries in the District of Columbia. Congressional lawmakers had up to 30 working days to reject the law. That review period officially ended earlier this week. In June, a pair of Republican House members, Representatives Jason Chaffetz of Utah and Jim Jordan of Ohio, introduced legislation to overturn D.C.'s medical marijuana law, stating, quote, marijuana is a psychotropic drug classified under Schedule 1 of the Federal Controlled Substances Act as having high potential for abuse, no currently accepted medical use in treatment in the United States, and a lack of accepted safety for use of the drug under medical supervision, end quote. Their effort failed to gain any significant support in Congress. Under the new law, D.C. Health Department officials will oversee the creation of up to 8 facilities to dispense medical cannabis to authorized patients. Medical dispensaries would be limited to growing no more than 95 plants on site at any one time. Both nonprofit and for-profit organizations will be eligible to operate the dispensaries. Qualifying D.C. patients will be able to obtain medical cannabis at these facilities, but will not be permitted under the law to grow their own medicine. A separate provision enacted as part of the 2011 D.C. budget calls for the retail sales of medical cannabis to be subject to the district's 6% sales tax rate. Low-income patients will be allowed to purchase medical marijuana at a greatly reduced cost under the plan. It will likely be several months before health officials begin accepting applications from the public to operate the city's medical marijuana production and distribution centers. The newly enacted legislation amends Initiative 59, a 1998 D.C. medical marijuana ballot measure that garnered 69% of the vote. City lawmakers had been barred from instituting the measure because of a congressional ban prohibiting district officials from liberalizing municipal marijuana laws. Congress finally lifted the ban in 2009. Well, this is an amazing story that we are finally going to get not just medical marijuana in the District of Columbia, but also dispensaries, 8 operating dispensaries that should be online sometime in 2011, where our federal lawmakers, the ones like Chavez and Jordan here, who say that marijuana is deadly addictive, no medical use, lack of safety, these men and women are going to have to walk by operating dispensaries in the city where they work every day and realize that the sky does not fall. They'll realize that medical marijuana can be safely used by people, can be safely distributed to people within the District of Columbia. The hypocrisy is not going to stand much longer. For them to continue to demonize cannabis as a Schedule I drug, as having no medical use, accepted medical use in the United States, when 15 states and the federal capital are accepting its medical use right here in the United States, that hypocrisy must fall. We will continue to highlight this story in Washington, D.C., and make sure our federal officials are well aware that we're aware of their hypocrisy. The federal government sends 4 surviving members of the Investigative New Drug Program, medical marijuana cigarettes, every month. The federal government has a patent number 6630507 on cannabinoids as neuroprotectants. The federal government is well aware of research dating back as far as 1974 showing the effectiveness of THC in combating tumors. There is no more excuse for them to hold on to the Schedule I classification of cannabis, and the D.C. medical marijuana law is one more brick in that wall that we've chipped away that is going to lead to the eventual re-legalization of cannabis. Our number 3 story, and this surprised me that it came in number 3, California's Prop 19 defeated, local marijuana tax measures approved, and Harris declares victory in attorney general race. November 4th, Oakland, California. California voters decided 46% to 54% against Proposition 19, which sought to legalize the adult possession of limited quantities of marijuana in private and to allow for local governments to regulate its commercial production and retail distribution. Overall, more than 3.4 million Californians voted for the measure. With 46%, the Prop 19 received the greatest percentage of citizen support ever recorded on a statewide marijuana legalization effort. Commenting on the result, Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano said, quote, "In just a few short months, this campaign moved public opinion forward nationally and led to the signing of historic legislation in California that will end the arrest and prosecution of tens of thousands of minor marijuana offenders. Despite last night's disappointing outcome, we have momentum and an unparalleled coalition of supporters, from law enforcement personnel to civil rights groups to organized labor to lawyers, clergy, and public health professionals. He concluded, "Throughout this campaign, even our opponents conceded that America's present marijuana prohibition is a failure. They recognize that the question now isn't, should we legalize and regulate marijuana, but how should we legalize and regulate marijuana? Legalizing the adult use of marijuana in a regulated manner is no longer a matter of if, it is a matter of when." End quote. Proponents of the statewide measure have already announced plans to move forward with a similar initiative in 2012. Municipal voters in 9 cities unanimously approved citywide ordinances in Albany, Berkeley, La Puente, Oakland, Rancho Cordova, Richmond, Sacramento, San Jose, and Stockton to impose new taxes on medical marijuana sales and or production and business licenses. California Normal, along with several other reform groups, specifically opposed the Rancho Cordova measure as an excessive penalty on medical cannabis growers. Groups were divided in their support of the other local proposals. Voters in Berkeley also approved a separate ordinance to permit a 4th medical marijuana dispensary in the city and reconstitute the city's medical marijuana commission. Voters in Morro Bay and Santa Barbara rejected proposed municipal bans on dispensaries. In the state's extremely closely contested race for attorney general, Democrat Kamala Harris was declared victor over Republican challenger Steve Cooley. With 100% of the precincts reported, Harris leads Cooley by less than 0.5%. Cooley was opposed by many marijuana reform organizations for his public oppositions to medical marijuana and his contention that any retail sale of medical cannabis is in violation of state law. So it was kind of a mixed bag here when we looked at the California election results. Of course, we saw the highest statewide support for legalization ever, but then we saw the Emerald Triangle counties voting against legalization. We found people in Los Angeles County voting against legalization, and it did open up the examination of the I Got's Mine element in the medical marijuana industry, who like the high prices and the dispensary monopolies just the way they are. However, there are victories to be taken from this. We do take the victory in the signing of SB 1449, the decriminalization measure in California. We take the victory in putting together together the coalitions of the Latino groups, the African-American groups, the police groups, the labor groups that all came together in unprecedented support for marijuana legalization. Overall, I would say the Prop 19 campaign was a huge victory in that it taught us what mistakes to avoid as we move forward in 2012. Our number two story for 2010, Gallup record number of Americans now say they support marijuana legalization. The latest national poll numbers from Gallup, which has been tracking public opinion on cannabis legalization since the late 1960s, shows that American support for making marijuana legal is now at its highest reported level of support ever. While California's marijuana ballot initiative is garnering a lot of attention, Gallup finds that nationally, a new high of 46% of Americans are in favor of legalizing use of the drug, and a new low of 50% are opposed. The increase of support this year from 44% in 2009 is a continuation of the upward trend seen since 2000. These results are from Gallup's annual crime poll conducted October 7th through 10th. Political leanings and age divide American support for legalizing marijuana. Among numerous subgroups, liberal support at 72% is by far the highest. There is widespread support for legalization among 18 to 29-year-olds at 61% as well. Majority support is also found among Democrats, independents, men, and political moderates. A large majority of those living in the West, which encompasses California, are in favor of making the drug legal. Support is significantly lower in the South and Midwest. Political conservatives and Republicans are the least supportive of legalizing marijuana. Seniors express a similarly low level of support. Women are 10 percentage points less likely than men to favor legalizing the drug. Bottom line, support for making the drug legal in general, however, is growing among Americans. The public is almost evenly split this year with 46% in favor and 50% opposed. If the trend of the past decade continues at a similar pace, majority support could be a reality within the next few years. And our number one story of marijuana events in 2010, gold standard studies show that inhaled marijuana is medically safe and effective. State-funded clinical trials show cannabis eases neuropathic pain and spasticity, according to a landmark report. February 18th, Sacramento, California. The results of a series of randomized, placebo-controlled clinical trials assessing the efficacy of inhaled marijuana consistently show that cannabis holds therapeutic value comparable to conventional medications, according to the findings of a 24-page report issued Wednesday to the California State Legislature by the California Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research. Four of the five placebo-controlled trials demonstrated that marijuana significantly alleviated neuropathy, a difficult-to-treat type of pain resulting from nerve damage. Quote, there is good evidence now that cannabinoids, the active compounds in the marijuana plant, may be either an adjunct or a first-line treatment for neuropathy, said Dr. Igor Grant, director of the CMCR, at a news conference at the state capitol. He added that the efficacy of smoked marijuana was very consistent and that its pain-relieving effects were comparable to the better existing treatments presently available by prescription. A fifth study showed that smoked cannabis reduced the spasticity associated with multiple sclerosis. A separate study conducted by the CMCR established that the vaporization of cannabis, a process that heats the substance to a temperature where active cannabinoid vapors form, but below the point of combustion, is a, quote, safe and effective, end quote, delivery mode for patients who desire the rapid onset action of inhalation while avoiding the respiratory risks of smoking. The CMCR program was founded in 2000 following an $8.7 million appropriation from the California State Legislature. The studies are some of the first placebo-controlled clinical trials to assess the safety and efficacy of inhaled cannabis as medicine to take place in over two decades. Placebo-controlled clinical crossover trials are considered to be the gold standard method of assessing the efficacy of drugs under the U.S. FDA approval process.
Well, there's our stories. I think it's time for a break.
We've got the news all covered for 2010. Let's move on to 2011, the best way I know how, with some fine Oregon cannabis.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? Reefer Man. Have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? Reefer Man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that Reefer Man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, folks. Herb Thrasher brings us our Daily Toker Tunes for Rockin' Friday, but he cannot be with us today. It's not because he's on vacation down in Alabama. It's because he's sick as a dog. And, you know, Ganja John just came back from Florida, and he's sick, too.
I'm sick, too.
What is it with the South, man?
It's a dirty, filthy place that no one should ever visit.
Well, that'll get us
some. My email address is john@normal.org.
That's going to get us some mail.
And,
hey, John, speaking for himself, I've only been to the South once, and I had a wonderful time.
Well, it's like my dad says, if Al Gore's right about global warming, at least the SEC's gone.
Well, there's that. Well, speaking of the SEC, Herb Thrasher is down there in Alabama, I'm sure, taking a lot of heat for Auburn being in the national championship game. He was telling me that he met a whole bunch of people down there saying, go Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a whole bunch of Auburn haters. And, of course, Alabama's playing tomorrow on the New Year's Day game. So good luck for Herb there. Roll Tide, roll.
Roll Tide.
We hope everything turns out the way you want. For today's song, he led me to a song on Music Alley, which is one of the many pod-safe places we go to get music here for the show. And it's a group here called Digital Leather, which leads me to pause for just a second, wondering what I'm getting myself into. But Digital Leather is the band, and the name of the song here is 2011. You're going to roll into 2011 with this tune. We don't have very much information about the band, but you can get a link to the website, Music Alley, to get more information on the band, to download the song for yourself or some of their other music. According to the website here, it says that they are moody lyrics and a one-man band pop of the future with harsh, dark melodies over beats cooked up in a hot, sticky bedroom of a desert. Okay. Right. Like a diary of experimentation in darkness, the sounds are still beautiful and similar to Blank Dogs, SIDS, Lost Sounds, and the Screamers. Well, that certainly
narrows it down for me.
That explains it all for me. Let's just get to it. This is your last Daily Toker Tune of 2010, Digital Leather with 2011.
Yeah.
Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, N-O-R-M-L, .org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Oh, every time I hear that, it reminds me that 2010 is the year that we lost Leslie Nielsen. I will miss him. I loved his roles in movies. Yes, what a loss. Anyway, folks, for this past 3 days, we've been doing the top three radical rants as recorded up at our Stick'em site. Video recordings of all these radical rants since about October can be found at our site, stickem.com/normalshowlive, which is also accessible by just going to live.normal.org. And you'll see the most recent ones along the bottom, but you can click also to say see all videos and you'll get the entire listing. There's a couple from May, and then most of them start in late summer, and then we did it just about every day from October on. And so out of that entire list, I've decided on the number one rant of the list, which for me was the lessons learned from marijuana election defeats. We went up there to Oaksterdam on for the November 2nd election. Of course, the Prop 19 failed there. And then we drove back the entire next day, which was kind of cool because all that next day, as Carrie and I are making our way back to Portland, I was able to think about the election, think about the losses and what happened, and to analyze what were the best lessons learned. So on the following Thursday, November 4th, I gave this rant, the lessons we learned from the marijuana election defeats.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
All right, folks, 55 after the hour, and we're going to go long on this radical rant. I can tell you that right away, because I got a lot of things to say about the 2010 election results. And, you know, I know a lot of people are really bummed out about this, Prop 19 losing and the medical marijuana initiatives in South Dakota and Arizona. It looks like losing so far. Arizona is still a close one and might pull it out. The Oregon dispensary measure falling to defeat. I know this is really bad news, and a lot of people are taking it that way. But I always believe when we are talking about it, we are winning. And when we've got it on the ballot, we are definitely winning. Because even in our losses, we can learn. We can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from our opposition, both within our own side and the people who are normally our opposition, the drug czar and the cops and some of the politicians out there. So what are some of the things that we have learned from this election? Well, coming into the 2010 election and in a previous radical rant, I made a note about the Gallup polls. The Gallup polls have shown some remarkable stats here for the legalization of marijuana. And let me pull some of this information up in here. We'll put it up on the screen so you can take a look at it. The 2010 Gallup poll for marijuana legalization is at an all-time high here. And we can see in the green lines here, dating all the way back to 1969 when this question was asked, should we legalize marijuana? And it rose and fall throughout the 70s and 80s. But then when we get to the most recent polls, we've got 46% support for marijuana legalization. The red line along the top shows you how many people think marijuana should remain illegal. And as you can see, this one has declined over the years to the point now where we've got 50%, only 50% of the American people think that marijuana should be illegal. Of course, the devil is in the details when you start talking about legalization, and that's something that we learned about Prop 19. The Gallup poll that I just referenced that showed the support for marijuana legalization up over 46%, when it looked at just Westerners, the support was 58%. So 58% of the people out here on the West Coast, if you ask them, should we legalize marijuana, 58% say yes. So how do we go from 58% saying yes to legalizing marijuana to when we put it on the ballot, only getting 46% of the vote? Where's those other 12% of the people going that say they support marijuana legalization? Well, again, the devil's in the details. As we found from some of the stoners against legalization, they think the word legalization means marijuana is completely legal. You can grow as much as you want. You can have as much as you want. You can sell it to anyone you want. There's no taxes on it, no regulation. You know, unicorns will sing and fairy dust will sprinkle from the sky. And okay, that's one sort of legalization view, I suppose. And those people, perhaps, they look at Prop 19 and go, well, that's not legalization. Other people who think it should be legalized really just think it should be decriminalized, think that we shouldn't waste our time locking people up for it, but if they try to sell it, then we ought to take them down. And that's where we saw some of the support fall off for Prop 19 when we talked about selling it. Not just from the soccer moms and the typical people that wouldn't support legalization, but also from the places like Humboldt County, Trinity County, Mendocino County that all voted against Prop 19 because they see that as part of their economy, the small grower economy. And if we just let everybody buy and sell and grow marijuana, why, the corporations will come in and they'll squeeze out the little guy, just like Walmart squeezed out the mom-pa grocery stores. So I can see that point as well. These are things that we need to learn in moving forward. So some things I think that we ought to add the next time we go forth with marijuana legalization. And again, 46.1% is the best we've ever had in a statewide initiative. And this is in an election 2010 when it was a repudiation of the Obama administration, a big failure for Democrats. The Tea Party voters were out. The conservatives were very energized for this election. So to get 46% in those circumstances is a remarkable turnout. We should hold our heads up high for that one because that is really amazing. But I do think there are some lessons to learn. Lesson number one, the next time we write a marijuana legalization initiative in a medical marijuana state, there's got to be three very important clauses that we put into that measure. Clause number one, this does not affect your medical marijuana rights. Clause number two, after we pass legalization, you will still have your exact same medical marijuana rights. Clause number three, when in doubt about your medical marijuana rights, please refer to clauses number one and two. This is one of the big things that we learned from the campaign up here in Oregon to try to legalize from OCTA. When we had the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act and it had the language in it that said, we're going to repeal all criminal laws, all laws about marijuana, and we're going to make it legal for everyone. The medical marijuana patient said, wait a minute, you're going to repeal the medical marijuana law? We're like, yeah, because we're going to replace it with everybody can have marijuana. So you won't really need a medical law if everybody can have marijuana. Oh, no, you can't get rid of the medical marijuana law. What if they invalidate all the parts about that and they keep the medical marijuana law illegal, but then we don't have anything? And their heads just exploded. Right. And no matter how we tried to explain it, that this didn't touch your medical rights or would make your medical rights better, they still revolted. And we saw the same thing with Prop 19 in California. A lot of the people who were enamored of Prop 215, who believe in their medical rights down there just the way they've got it, they've got theirs, and they don't want to see it go away. And, you know, I've kind of mocked it all throughout this campaign, but there is a legitimate opposition there of, look, I'm in California. I got Prop 215. I can grow a lot of plants. I can go to these great dispensaries. I don't want that to go away. And that's legitimate, and we've got to address that. So the next time we go forward with legalization, we have got to be very, very clear that legalization does not change your medical rights. And we can't just imply it. We can't have it buried in between the wherefores and the wherefore out thous and the notwithstandings and all that. It's got to be clear. This does not affect your medical rights. Big, bold-faced, underlined, 72-point font, whatever it takes, that's got to be the number one thing we go forward with when we start talking about legalization in the future. The number two thing that we've got to do is we've got to consider the small grower economy. We've got to, you know, be cognizant of the fact that there are a lot of people out there who don't like being called the black market, by the way. And I got to talk to some of these people, and believe me, I get an earful on some of my rants here. But there is a small grower economy out there. People who grow a little bit, they sell to two or three friends that they've known forever. And in this economy where people can't get jobs and you can no longer support a family with one income, this is very important to a lot of people. Now, that does not change the fact that morally speaking, it is wrong to make a living off of other people's suffering. It is wrong to leverage the risk of prohibition and the fact that that tears apart families and puts people in jail and gets people killed. It is wrong to leverage that to make a profit. However, we can't go from people making a living off of selling $300 ounces to dropping the price to $30 an ounce in just one fell swoop. We can't crush those families like that. They're always going to vote for their own self-interest, and that's what we saw in Humboldt, Trinity, and Mendocino counties. Number three, when we go forth with legalization, we cannot attach drug testing to it. And this was something Prop 19 had in it, which was, you know, you couldn't be discriminated against for your lawful use of cannabis. And the opponent seized on that by saying, oh my God, you're getting rid of drug testing. Now, you and I know drug testing is bullshit. You and I know that it's not scientifically accurate. You and I know that someone who is using cannabis, their judgment is not impaired like someone who's using alcohol or other drugs. We know these things, but we're the choir, right? We got to talk to the soccer moms out there. We got to talk to the law and order people out there who think that when you smoke pot, you go crazy. So we got to be sure that we do not take the drug testing away from them at first. Legalization has to come first. Then the drug testing will naturally fall in the next couple of election cycles. But it has to be legal first before you can attack the drug testing. You can't do them both at the same time. We've got to get it legal so people can live with it for a while, realize that we're not crazy, so they can know that the person down the block or the coffee shop down the block isn't a hazard to their neighborhood. Then we can go after the drug testing. Make those two separate issues. Decouple those in the argument. Number four, and this was one place where the opponents really had made inroads in the public opinion, is the whole stoned drivers argument. Now, once again, you and I know that people that use marijuana are not a risk on the highways. If anything, we drive safer, more carefully. But the problem is the average person doesn't know that, and the average voter out there thinks of drunk driving when they think of stoned driving. They equate us. They think that we're as bad as people on alcohol. And for years and years and decades now, they've been propagandized by Mothers Against Drunk Driving, by our governments, that, you know, the worst possible thing in the world is to drink a beer and then go drive, right? So you cannot get them to think about treating marijuana like alcohol, or less than alcohol, which would we'd prefer, but, you know, whatever. We cannot get to that argument of treat marijuana like alcohol without them naturally making the connection of drunk driving and stoned driving. You know, treat it like alcohol. Well, they think, oh my God, alcohol, we have all these drunk drivers. It's a terrible thing. So they don't want to see the stone drivers. And one of the problems that we had, as they said, is all the opponents and the people that were voting against this were of the attitude of like, well, once we legalize, how will we ever catch the stone drivers? And my response to that is always, well, how do you think we're catching them now? But, you know, I think that the average person doesn't think too much about that, because I think they think, well, it's illegal, so people can't drive stoned. People can't get stoned and drive, which we know is also bullshit. We know there's plenty of people out there driving stoned, even though it's illegal. In fact, probably more because it's illegal. But we've got to get back to thinking about the average person who doesn't know what we know. Now, when you talk to the average person about drunk driving, there's a really simple thing they can understand about that, and that is the breathalyzer. They understand that alcohol is legal, and you can go to bars, you can go to, you know, football games and whatever and drink. But they also know that if you get caught by a cop and pulled over, he will make you blow into a device that will tell you scientifically whether or not you're too drunk to drive. Now, of course, the breathalyzer is also a flawed technology. It doesn't tell you whether or not someone's too impaired to drive, really. It just tells you what level of alcohol is in their blood. There are plenty of alcoholics in there who can drive perfectly fine with a 0.12, and there's some teetotalers out there at a 0.04 would be a danger behind the wheel. Again, the technology is inaccurate, but we're talking politics here, not science. So in politics, in the way people think, they think that breathalyzer is a real thing, that it tells you whether or not someone's too drunk to drive. We cannot go forward with a legalization initiative. We cannot continue with the rhetoric of marijuana is safer than alcohol without also giving them the breathalyzer for marijuana. That's what the voters want. They want to know that if we make it legal, if someone's being irresponsible, there will be a way to bust them. And what they think right now is that because it's illegal, They think that the stoners out there don't drive, or if they do, are very careful about it because they know if they're pulled over, the smell of pot, the sight of pot, seeing, you know, the pipe or the papers or ashes in the ashtray, whatever, is enough reason for the cop to take that person off the road. And the people think that, well, if we legalize it, they can have a joint on them, they can have weed on them, they can have a pipe on them. What will we do to get them off the road? And since those things are legal, there's nothing left. And that's where we lost on that particular piece of rhetoric, is we couldn't offer them the, hey, here's the solution to stone drivers. We asked them to accept that, well, we're already dealing with stone drivers now. And they didn't know how we were dealing with stone drivers now. They couldn't make that connection in their head. So if we're going to go forward with legalization, we've definitely got to address the stone drivers issue. And we've got to be proactive about it. We've got to take that arsenal out of the prohibitionists, the opponents, out of the prohibitionist arsenal. Excuse me. The number five point that I wanted to point out about this is we have got to be truthful about our aims and the reasoning behind what we're doing. And it's as simple as saying it's wrong. Locking people up, punishing people for their use of marijuana is wrong. Now, we can show the symptoms of that. We can show the effects of that, the racism in the arrests, the wastes of money by the police, and so forth. But it always has to come back to the fundamental reason it's wrong. What we're doing is wrong. It's immoral. It is wrong. It's unequal. Going back to the whole alcohol and marijuana thing, all we're asking for is to be treated as equals. We want to be equal to people that use alcohol. We want to have the same rights as the guy who comes home from work and unwinds by drinking a beer. We want to have the same rights as the folks that have fun by going out and having a Chardonnay with dinner, right? We just want that. We've got to frame this as an issue of equality and civil rights. Because when we frame it in other ways, we provide ways for our opponents to tear down the argument. Example one. We framed this as a tax and regulate thing, as we could make tax revenue, we could make money, we could help California's ailing economy, we could help the budget. And then our opponents were able to go, well, wait a minute. And here, the other mistake in this situation, and this was a mistake of timing and messaging, is that Tom Ammiano had that bill out, AB 390, that would legalize marijuana at the legislature, but it put a $50 an ounce tax on it. And then the California Board of Equalization studied that and said, well, if you have a $50 an ounce tax, you can make $1.4 billion. And then that bill died, but Prop 19 came out and said it would tax. And people started conflating the two. They started saying, oh, well, this Prop 19 will make $1.4 billion. No, Prop 19 didn't have a $50 an ounce tax in it, but now you've made us look bad by saying so. When this, I told you about this on the show. When I first started seeing some of the campaign stuff come from Prop 19 saying raise $1.4 billion in revenue, I went, oh no. Oh no, you have just handed them the way to look at the stoners and say, oh see, they're overreaching. They think marijuana is the magical herb that'll cure everything, all the budget woes, and they were able to punch holes in that $1.4 billion before the ink had even dried on the flyer. So you can't focus this as an economic argument. Besides, when you get right down to it, the economic argument's kind of cynical anyway. If you say, oh, well, we could raise this much money by legalizing marijuana, they can say, well, does that make it right? I mean, we could make this much money by taxing crack. Would that make it right? You know, and what if the economy gets better? What if California's economy is in a surplus? Then we don't need to legalize marijuana? You can't pin it on the numbers argument. The numbers argument can be a part of it, can be a supporting part of the overall point that it's wrong to lock people up for a plant, how much we're wasting, how much money we're leaving on the table, that can be a part of the supporting argument. But you can't go and say $1.4 billion when you know it's not $1.4 billion. And where that really hurt us was when Holder, Attorney General Holder, came out and said the federal government would shut down any pot shops that opened. Then everybody went, well, whatever little tax money we were going to get, now we're not going to get any because the feds are going to shut it all down. So you cannot circle it around the money argument. The other example of bad framing was to frame this as something that would take down the Mexican cartels. Now, part of that is the ONDCP kind of slipped one on us. You know, all those ONDCP guys were coming out and saying that marijuana makes up 60% of the Mexicans' income, and Rand's study comes out later and says, really, it's not that much. It's 12 to 16% or something. But again, it's just that whole credibility thing. We had the credibility issue with $1.4 billion, and then you followed up with the credibility issue of this is going to tear down the Mexican cartels. The proper way to frame that would have been, you know, this is going to end the high school dealers. This is going to end the guys in the parking lot, not the Mexican cartels, because anybody who's in California who's smoking weed now is not smoking Mexican brick weed. Okay, they got great indoor hydroponic chronic that they're smoking. The Mexican brick weed's going to Oklahoma. That's going to Texas. That's going to Missouri, right? So right there, we provided another big silver platter for our opponents to say, see, they're overreaching. Here they say the magical weed is going to solve California's budget crisis and end the Mexican cartels. What's next from the pot people, right? That's where we ended up in that situation with a lot of the undecideds and a lot of the more conservative voters. So let's learn from those mistakes. I mean, that's why I think this is so good. We can learn our lessons from these mistakes. We can learn our messaging and get it better for next time. Now, I want to take this to another direction with respect to the election results, because there was more than just Prop 19 out there. Like I said, I'm over the moon that we got 46% in a midterm election when the Republicans stormed to power in the House. I think that, you know, is an amazing turnout, amazing number, especially when we had no big money support until like the last couple of weeks, right? Amazing what was accomplished. And as these speeches that we played for you earlier pointed out, you know, we built historic coalitions, we're moving forward, you know, we've got a running start on 2012 now. All wonderful. Let's talk for a second about the medical stuff, though. Because, you know, I did my presentation on the Box Canyon for medical marijuana, and I said that really medical marijuana is a dying strategy, that we have lost the public on this one, or we're losing the public on this one. And let me show you some examples of why I believe this to be so. First of all, I did a chart last week. This is the one where I show the difference in the two Gallup polls that most recently came out. In 2005, the Gallup poll came out and said that 36% of the people supported marijuana legalization. And in 2010, that poll had gone up to 46%. That's represented by that bottom green area, right? So in the span of 5 years, the support for legalization went up from 36 to 46, a 10% jump. Now, the blue area above that is the corresponding poll results for medical marijuana. Should marijuana be legalized for medical purposes? In 2005, that was 78%. In 2010, it was 70%. So the support for medical marijuana in the span of 5 years has gone down by 8%. Now, I think it's a pretty safe assumption to say that anybody in the green section, you know, anybody who thinks marijuana should be legal for everybody, probably also thinks marijuana should be legal medically. Right, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. So that means the difference between the green section and the blue section represents the people who don't think it should be legalized for everyone, who only think medical marijuana should be allowed. They're the kind of people that think if you're healthy enough, you should be thrown in prison, but if you're sick, you can smoke a joint. So the gap in 2005 is 42%. 42% of the American people who only support medical. Now, as support for legalization has gone up, if the support for medical only stayed the same, it should rise just like the legalization rises, shouldn't it? But it doesn't. It goes down by 8%. And if you compare the gap, we're now down to 24% of the American people who support medical marijuana only. We've gotten from 42% to 24% in the span of 5 years. How did we lose 18% of the people who thought medical was okay? Well, think about that as I show you this next chart. This next chart, because I looked at that and I said, well, that's two data points, Russ. That's 2005, that's 2010. Two data points does not a graph make. So I went back and I said, well, let's take a look at all the Gallup polls that we can find. And here we have them. Dating back to 1999, when Gallup first started asking about medical marijuana, because remember, 1996 was California, 98 was Alaska, Oregon, Washington. So by 1999, they start asking about it. The support for legalization in 1999 was 29%. The support for medical in 1999 was 73%, for a medical-only gap of 44%. Now, over 2000 through 2005, support for legalization increased by about 5%. From 1999 to 2005, support for medical increased about 5%. So through the early part of the 2000s, both legalization and medical are rising at about the same rate. So you still have that same number of people who think that medical's okay, but not legalization. And that number rises as the legalization number rises, because again, the people who believe in legalization probably believe in medical too. But then again, you hit 2005 and you see those numbers drop from 78% to 70%, from 36% up to 46%. Which means since 1999, medical marijuana support hasn't had an overall drop of 3%, since 2005, an overall drop of 8%, while legalization has gone up 17% since 1999, gone up 10% since 2006. So what is that telling us? Well, what it's telling me is that I think, in the words of Judge Judy, there's some people out there that are tired of having their leg peed on and being told that it's raining. I think there's some people out there that were all cool with medical up until the mid-2000s when the patient roll started exploding in Oregon and California and Colorado, and when they started seeing news reports from Venice Beach and California and these other dispensaries, and when they see the signs, hand-painted signs on Venice Beach for doctors offering cannabis recommendations that cannot spell the word cannabis. Those kind of things happened. And people who had been brought into the medical-only movement thinking, well, I still hate marijuana and I still hate potheads, but, well, if you're suffering from cancer, I suppose you should be able to have a joint. You know, whatever makes you feel better. Those people are starting to not buy it anymore. This is something we found in Oregon. When we were running Measure 74 this year, we heard from editorial boards on just about every newspaper, including the Oregonian, our big city Portland paper, that said, no more of these medical marijuana things. Let's just get to the debate about legalization. And the whole idea being medical marijuana is a Trojan horse. And we've heard that before. Medical marijuana is a Trojan horse for legalization. And then, of course, we on the medical side, we say, no, it's not. It's just for the patients, just for the patients. But now that we've run Prop 19, it's going to be pretty hard to deny it. Prop 215 in 96, medical only. Prop 19 in 2010, legalization. Every opponent can say, see, if we go with medical, 10 years from now, they're going to make us legalize. Now, again, I always have to put the caveats in here, put the disclaimers in here. I'm completely in favor of medical marijuana. I completely understand the science behind it. I know that it's a medicine. It's not just about getting high. I completely support the patients, and I even support what's going on in California. I think, you know, if you want to use medical marijuana for hangnails, halitosis, insomnia, whatever, I'm cool with it because I think everybody should be able to use marijuana. So I always throw that in there because I always get the email. Someone says, you hate patients. You're against patients. No, I'm not against patients. God, my wife, my family, everybody I know is a patient. People with some pretty severe conditions, too. So don't give me that claptrap. I'm pointing out the political realities here. And the political reality here is that people don't buy it anymore. Or if they do, they want their medical marijuana so severely restricted that it's not what any of us would recognize as medical marijuana. You're going to see the New Jersey model, right? You can have medical marijuana as long as you're chained to a radiator in a basement with no people around you on a Tuesday at 3 a.m. I mean, it's going to be so restrictive and, you know, 1 ounce limits and 2 plants and you can only buy an ounce at a time. And we're seeing that. The laws have gotten more and more restrictive as they've come out. And as we've seen from Arizona and South Dakota this year, not passed at all. So the medical marijuana thing only can go two directions. It can only go more and more restrictive, or it can just lead to electoral losses. That's my belief at this point. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, Russ, that's nice of you to say in Oregon. We're out here in Louisiana. We're out here in Arkansas. We're out here in Florida. And there's no chance in hell legalization is going to be passing. Got a point. You do have a very, very good point there. But is there a chance in hell medical's going to pass? And if it does, what kind of medical is it going to be? Is it going to be your New Jersey-style medical? Nobody can grow at home. Got to have terminal, intractable pain that's been treated by 6 doctors, and you have to have tried every drug on the list before you try marijuana, and then you have to re-up for it every 3 months, and your doctor can get rid of it if he says you don't need it anymore. That kind of medical? Now, again, am I telling people not to fight for that? No, no. My God, please fight for it. Please. If we only get medical marijuana to 10 people in your state, the 10 most sickest severe people, then that's a good thing. Of course, fight for that. I understand. And that's why in Normal we have independent chapters that do their own thing, because what's going to work in Louisiana is not what's going to work in Oregon. Understood. Completely understood. Talking about this from national perspective. I'm talking about this as we start thinking about these initiatives that we're going to write up in the future. And it's my belief that we can't move much farther forward with medical. I just, the feeling I get, I can feel that pendulum swinging back. Because there's one thing about the American people. Regardless if they're conservatives or liberals or Democrats or Republicans or independents, the American people don't like to be bullshitted. Okay? That's what it really comes down to here in this medical thing. And again, I'm not saying medical marijuana is bullshit. Of course it's a medicine. Of course it helps people. I know the science. I talk to Dr. Mitch every Wednesday. Of course I know what I'm talking about here. What I'm saying is, as a political issue, people think they're being bullshitted now. Okay? That's what they think. And that's what these numbers are telling me, is that they think that it is a Trojan horse for legalization, that we should really just talk about legalization. And my advice from here on out is that we can't just separate it into medical versus legalization. We have to frame it now as legalization is what helps medical marijuana patients. We can show, and I've done it many times on this show, how medical marijuana isn't protecting patients. They're still having their guns taken away. They still have home invasion robberies. They're still getting ripped off by growers, by dispensaries. They still have criminal problems. They still end up in trials. They still end up being raided. The only way that we can help the medical marijuana patients is to fully legalize. But we've got to get away from this idea that only medical use is allowed. One of the problems that does is it frames the issue as that marijuana is deadly dangerous. Marijuana is deadly dangerous, so deadly dangerous that we should still lock people up for it, but not if they're sick. It cedes to our opponents the notion that marijuana is something so powerful it needs to be very strictly controlled. And that's what we're trying to get away from. Ironically, that's what some of the stoners against legalization were trying to get away from, is the idea that it needs to be strictly, totally controlled, and it needs to be freer than that. Medical marijuana ends up telling people that if you're healthy enough, you deserve jail. And it maintains the frame that marijuana use is bad or evil or dirty or disgusting or a habit. Part of what we need to do going forward here is to rehabilitate the image of getting high itself. Right? That's one of the things I hear a lot from the patient side is, it's not just about getting high, it's medical. And absolutely it is. It is medical, I'm telling you. Anti-inflammatory, anti-nausea, anti-spasmodic. We know the deal. We know, right? Our opponents may not know, but we know, right? But there's also getting high. And so long as we have medical only, we have all these uses for which marijuana is okay and accepted, and we have getting high, which is kind of dirty and disgusting and put over to the side here. We need to rehabilitate the image of getting high. We need to show people, and this is why I'm so happy about the Normal Women's Alliance, the Pot Couture photo shoots, and every time the moms for marijuana are out there, plain-looking average people coming out and saying, yeah, I smoke pot, what of it? So what? It's no big deal. That's where we need to go forward with this. We need to rehabilitate the image of getting high. We need to show it as the logical alternative for someone who doesn't want hangovers, who doesn't want violence, who doesn't want puking on their shoes. Again, Carrie makes a good point that we talked about this on the road, too, is we don't need to make alcohol the enemy. We want to be equal. We want to be equals. We want to be able to have fun with our beer drinking friends, but not. Oh, yeah, that's the best radical rant of 2010, the lessons learned from the marijuana election defeats. It's available online at stash.normal.org. Hey, for everyone, I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for making 2010 a great year. We'll see
you're
you in 2011.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
And until next year, take care of each other, tokers.